I think the memoir kind of decides you. You kind of have to be pulled into the direction of wanting to write. It's like you've got this burning need to write. That's when I know personally that I'm ready to write a memoir.
Welcome to Angle on Writing, a podcast about writing, publishing, and book marketing. Welcome, writers. Today, I am with a memoirist, poet, essayist, and thought leader, Diana Rabb.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
I read in your bio that you started writing at a very young age. So I'm holding my breath, wondering how young was that?
Well, I'm an only child, and when I was six, my parents sent me to sleepaway camp, and in my trunk, they put a box of stationery. So I think I first started writing when I was about six, and my mother was an English major, so she was always encouraging, going to the library and a lot of writing, a lot of journaling. But my first real display of my love for writing was when I was 10. My grandmother, who was my caretaker, or my parents were immigrants, they were working, and she was taking care of me, and it was, I think it was Labor Day weekend. I knocked on her door and she didn't answer. Well, she had taken her life in my childhood home. And my mother, it was the 60s, my mother didn't really know how to handle grief, not like we do now. And so the first thing she did was she went to the store and bought me a journal. And she said, "You just write your feelings. I'm dealing with my own grief." And so I learned from a very early age that writing really makes me feel better. Writing helps me heal and that kind of thing. So I used writing all the way through my adolescence. I had challenging adolescence and was journaling. And then in high school, I was editor of the, high school newspaper. And so I was doing some writing then. And then I was on bed rest with three of my children, and I did some writing then. Wrote my first book on a typewriter because I was on bed rest. And so every time, and then I'm a three-time cancer survivor as well. So every time I had a challenge in my life, I turned to the pen, basically, because I knew that that was my healing place.
Wow, yeah, it sounds like you have had a lot of challenges in your life. I didn't realize how, yeah, and that, so writing has really helped you overcome that. And when was the first time you thought about actually publishing your work?
That's a good question. I think, in the high school newspaper I was publishing, and then I went for my RN degree early on, and I had a nursing newsletter in the hospital I was working in. So I think I published, in small places like that. And then I started sending some op-ed pieces to newspapers in my university town in upstate New York. I think my first book was basically a journal recorded on, like, chronicling my difficult pregnancy. I typed it on a typewriter. My husband built me a, he's an engineer, and he built me a table to go over my bed, and I was typing my whole story. So that became a self-help book for other women going through difficult pregnancies. So I think it just kind of, it flowed. It wasn't like I thought, oh, I think I want to publish this. It just felt like right. I kind of go by what feels right, going with the flow.
So then you were a nurse, and I know you have a now become helping other people use writing to heal. So how did you transition into working for like a hospital into teaching?
Well, it was kind of, it's funny because when I was about 12 years old, I taught journaling in my backyard to the school kids. So I think, like, when people are kind of challenging and trying to figure out what they want to do with their life, I'm like, what did you love doing as a child? Because I know that a lot of people kind of get out of touch with that childhood passion. But I loved teaching when I was a child. But I just kind of, I was raising three kids and I have a husband. And so I was very busy. I didn't really have time to teach per se. I just had time to write. So I think when I became an empty nester, that's when I realized that I can start doing some more teaching and get out in the world. And so I teach mainly memoir writing, but I'm also teaching a poetry workshop coming up at Godmother's in Summerlin. So yes, I think it just kind of happened intuitively, the teaching part.
So you mentioned poetry. When did you get into poetry?
I've always been writing poems in my journal, but I didn't really get inspired to publish them till about, I would say about 30 years ago. So I'm 72. So that was in my 40s. So that was kind of a late start, but now I feel like I'm writing more poetry than, and most of my poetry is kind of free verse and personal. It tend to be personal. And so I'm teaching to women over 60 at Godmother's, teaching poetry to people who have never written it. I'm really excited about that. But yes, but it's mainly like it kind of merges well with memoir writing, which is I've got three published memoirs, so that's kind of my starting place.
Yeah, well, three of them. Yeah, so that's, I've thought about maybe doing one memoir. I'm amazed at people who can write more than one memoir. But you've had a
Well, Mary
lot
Carr has
going
written three.
on.
But yeah, most people say you there's not more than, I think everyone has a couple of memoirs in them, but yeah. You have to be inspired. People ask me like, how do you know if you should write a memoir? I'm like, I think the memoir kind of decides you. You kind of have to be pulled into the direction of wanting to write. It's like you've got this burning need to write. That's when I know personally that I'm ready to write a memoir.
So when people come to you or they sign up for your class and they're like, okay, I want to write a memoir, but I don't know where to start or what to do. What's the first thing you tell them?
Yeah, that's a good question because people usually they said I have so many stories I don't know what to tell. I mean, that's usually the because you really can't write a memoir when you're in your 20s or 30s because the idea of a memoir is having perspective and looking back on your life and looking at it from where you are now. And unless you've had some kind of trauma earlier in your life, I always tell people if you're going through a trauma, journal, but it's very hard to write a memoir while you're going through the trauma. So journal and then you can use those notes. So in terms of where to start, I tell people to make a list of whatever transformative events they've had in their life and just circle the one that has the most energy for them at that moment in time.
Definitely, because I mean, but then what about people who have had such a happy life if they haven't had much trauma at all? Or I
Yeah.
don't know, maybe they may or may they're buried. I know a lot of traumatic things people tend to bury. So that must be very hard work to try to get people to uncover the good stuff, you know?
It's true. Like a woman, I won't give any names, but she was a pretty well-known restaurateur. She wanted to write a book, and because she had a very traumatic childhood, I'm like, she wants to write a book with recipes in it. And I said, sure, I'll help you. And as we were working together, she said, oh, I can't tell the people that they'll never come back to my restaurant because there was some real trauma from her childhood. And I said, but that's the stuff people want to hear. We want to hear compelling stories that inspire people to tell their stories or to feel more comfortable with their own life story. So, yeah. Now about a happy life. I mean, I always tell people if you can write a happy memoir, all the power to you, or a funny memoir because we need more of those. People tend to veer towards memoir if they've had some kind of life challenge, I would say. I would say that is the main pull. And people write memoir to kind of figure things out. Like my first memoir about my grandmother's suicide, I was trying to figure out why she committed suicide. I didn't know, and my mother didn't know. No one in the family knew. So as I investigated her life, I realized that she was traumatized as an orphan in World War I. And I think that trauma really lived with her, and she just couldn't shake it. So she, like most people who take their life, they're depressed prior. So she was very depressed. So sometimes we write memoir to figure things out. or maybe for writing about someone else to keep them alive. So there's different reasons people write memoir. It depends, every story is different, of course.
Yeah, I know there's one writer who I can't remember now. It went out of my head, but I can't remember who it was. But they wrote actually, I remember the name Half Broke Horses was the book, and it was about somebody who wrote the memoir. She wrote the memoir, but it wasn't her memoir, it was her grandmother's memoir,
Yes.
posthumously.
Yeah, that's a really that's another way to possibly do it, memoirs, the thing is that memoirs are usually done in first person, so she must have written something about her connection with her grandmother. Maybe they had a relationship and then maybe the grandmother passed, I don't know, but I can't recall that book. I've heard of it. So many books in my head, and they just keep coming. My memory's getting worse. Memoirs, typically they have a theme running through it. Like, it's not about a whole life, it's about a slice of life. So, that's the difference between a memoir and autobiography, which is also written in first person. But autobiography is typically written by a public figure, whether it's a politician or an actress or someone. And so it's about their life beginning to end, or beginning to the point where they're writing about. It's not about one slice of life at all. There's not necessarily a theme running through it like memoir. Like, whether the memoir is about grief or trauma or illness or that kind of thing.
But yeah, the themes are important to figure out the themes. So if somebody comes and they're in your workshop and they have you had it where maybe they think they're writing about one theme, but then they figure out their theme is actually different than what they thought.
Yes, that's happens very often. That's why stream of consciousness writing is really important, and journaling. You just kind of write until you just your subconscious mind is writing, and so that you can figure out really what you want to write about. Yeah, because sometimes it's true, we might want to start talking about, like, my PhD was in the researching the transformational powers of memoir writing. And so I interviewed a lot of esteemed writers, and basically they told me that they either wrote a book to keep a loved one alive or to figure out something that they didn't know. So sometimes they would be writing just maybe to keep the person alive, but they ended up, sort of connecting the two lives, their lives to the life of the one that has passed that they're writing about. So yeah, sometimes we don't know till we sit down and write.
How about people who, in some workshops that I've been in, and people are writing memoirs, and they're like, "Well, I can't do that," or "I have this person and this person was there." It's like, "Oh, well, you've got too many people in your book. You have to, so you have to sometimes use fiction writing techniques where you would have to like blend a character or." I had a one person thought, well, you know what? The only way I can get this across is by having them talk to their therapist. So they kind of invented a therapist character in order to be able to get across what they wanted to tell.
Yeah, I mean, technically, you have to use fiction technique like dialogue and narrative form and that kind of thing when you're writing memoir. But typically, making up characters, unless you say so as a caveat in the beginning of the book, making up characters is not really considered a good thing. If there are people that write about someone in their family, for example, that they don't want them to read the book. So I always say, well, write the book and, figure that out later. Whether write, publish it after the person's passed or work it out at another time. But it's not, most people, when they're reading your book, if they know you and you're changing their name, they'll know. So it's kind of not even, it doesn't even make sense to me personally. But yeah, you have to have some fiction license to write a memoir, because you are using some fiction techniques. You're writing your emotional truth. You're writing about what feels right to you at the time, and you can't write someone else's emotional truth. It's very hard to write a book about someone else that you don't even know what they're feeling. You can just write from your own perspective. You can't write from someone else's in general.
So, you teach not just memoir, but you also teach journal writing, and that is more of a purely personal thing, not meant for publication.
I use journals, or I suggest people use journals as a tool, things to go back to possibly either write poems or make essays or to use in their memoir, because we're just doing stream of consciousness writing. It's not like journal writing is not like essays where there's a beginning, middle, and end. It's just kind of rambling wherever your subconscious mind takes you. So I don't teach journaling per se anymore. It was kind of a fad for a while. I do kind of talk about it in all my workshops, whether it's poetry or memoir, that everyone, wants to be a writer, aspiring writers, should always have writing material on them, whether it's a small notebook or a pad or a real bigger journal, because thoughts come to us unexpectedly.
My problem is I have some really nice journals. I just don't want to write in them because they're so pretty.
I know. That's such a problem because people always give writers journals, and I have the same problem. But I just, you have to get over it. Just should use them.
So you mainly work on people as far as generating their material. Do you do much with say the editing process?
Well, I teach mainly I teach at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference, of course, and most of the people that come there either have a memoir in progress or they're just starting a memoir and they don't know where to start. So I oftentimes catch people at the very beginning. I taught at the Montecito Library last week, and mostly everybody there just hadn't really started writing. They're just kind of toying with the idea. So I don't do the editing process. I have editors that I refer people to if they're at that stage, but that's a long way down the road from starting a memoir.
So you encourage if people are going to come to one of your classes, whether it's at the Santa Barbara Writers Conference or in different writers conference or the Montecito Library, that most of the people are just starting. And I think there's a lot of people out there who are. So that's great. What do you like to tell people when they first start out your kind of kernel of advice for people who are maybe just thinking about it and they're not sure if they really want to take the first step on this journey?
Well, the first thing I say is have no fear, because I think a lot of people are afraid. They're afraid if they write, someone's going to find it, or something is going to be, they're going to say something that's going to hurt someone. And the first thing I say is just have no fear. Just do the writing and then worry about the editing and, making it presentable for publication if that's your interest. A lot of people don't necessarily want to get published. They want to maybe share a legacy with their family, and that's fine. I mean, I have 13 books. I'm a writer. That's what I want to do. I want to get published, but not everybody's like me. There are people that just want to learn new things. How do I write a memoir? So and then they have to feel right with the subject. They have to feel comfortable in their skin with the writing process. And I also encourage writing groups, like writing with other people. It's always inspiring, but you have to have the right people. Some people can bring you down.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard of people who are just that they even take a group writing class or a group through Zoom because they just all have a time where they say, well, we're going to write and we're going to write together, but they're all just at their computers and they just have the, video window open, and other people have their video, but you could see them just writing away, but you have your little group there around you.
Yeah, it's crazy. But they've done studies. I mean, I think people write better in groups, just like people meditate better in groups. I've been meditating, for a lot of years. And there's something about the group dynamic that, when we had boarders in Santa Barbara, I used to go right there in that cafe all the time. Just the white noise in the background of the people, very inspiring. So, yeah, I get that. I've never done the Zoom call with other groups, although I do take a poetry workshop online, and they, for the second half, they have everybody write poems. So and there's something about that. And then they share, which is nice.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with me today. And is there anything else you would want to say to the writing community out there?
No, just my website is dianarab.com, DianaRaab.com, if you want to look to see where I'm giving workshops or some of my books. And other than that, I thank you, Lisa, for talking with me today.
Sure, and I will link that in the show notes below.
Great. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful
Sure.
day, everyone.
Thanks.